This is the All Revved Up Podcast, and I'm Reverend Emmett Price.
And I'm Reverend Irene Monroe.
Irene, we are almost at 100,000 downloads. Can you believe it? This is our last episode of season 3, and we are almost there. I actually think we can make it, but it's not up to you or I. It's up to our listeners and viewers.
Yes, indeed, it is. But I tell you what, though, almost is almost as good as being there.
Well, before we head into our season 3 closer, why give thanks during a pandemic? Let us thank each of our listeners and viewers. Thank you for listening to us on the various podcast apps and for watching the actual live recording of the podcast on our YouTube channel. We are grateful for your support, your encouragement, your feedback, your reviews, and your comments.
Oh, indeed, a tsunami of thanks. I, one of the things that I have learned in this season is so much about gratitude, because every time we click on, we don't know who will be there, but you have been a diehard, you know, fan base, and I can't, a tsunami of thanks don't aptly nor amply convey my gratitude. And I want to give, a tsunami of thanks to our talented, spectacular producers, Kyla Wright and Cavante Smalls.
Hear, hear. Well, Irene, this has been a long season in this here twindemic. Here we are 15 months in, and I am so glad you came up with this topic. It's always a good time to be grateful.
Indeed.
So let's jump in. Cue the pots and pans.
You know, Emmett, now to the average listener, that cacophony of pots and pans would be just simply noise. But actually, it is a communal celebration of gratitude. When I hear it, I smile, because we are celebrating life. We're celebrating, our frontline workers. We're just celebrating in the midst of an ongoing pandemic. And let me just say this, we're still in a pandemic. But in those very early days of it, all of us was sort of on a journey without a roadmap, not quite sure. And we didn't have what we have now, which is a modicum of solace, which is that we now have vaccines here. But I'm so glad that you appreciate me doing this, or showing gratitude for this topic, because I guess what I want to sort of share with the audience, and I have learned this really having done so many funerals, that, you know, gratitude is not a private expression. It's not just for good times. It doesn't minimize the human suffering or the gravity of this issue, but that gratitude is a muscle that we develop. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, because I think the months of just doing funerals really has helped me to develop this gratitude muscle. And what I mean by that is that gratitude is taught, gratitude is shown, and also we are the recipients of gratitude. I'm reminded really of this German theologian, Meister Eckhart, and he said that if the only prayer you ever say in your lifetime is thank you, that will be enough. So we're taught to say thank you, and I'll give you an example of it, because even though, you know, we think it's common sense, it just will happen automatically. I'll give you that, you know, gratitude has to be taught. You know, I went into Starbucks this morning to get my coffee. I held the door for someone, didn't say thank you. I do think this is cultural, though, because it tends to be the white people who don't say thank you. And I keep thinking, well, they see a black woman, I guess they think I'm supposed to hold the door for them. But I'm amazed by how people of color, really, when I hold the door, you know, going either into Starbucks or out of Starbucks, they will say thank you. So I do think it's cultural. But my point is that you have to be taught it, number one, shown it. I'm always remembered these, the statement, random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And the one thing I have to say about that moment when this white woman did not say thank you, you got to understand it's not premeditated. You do it because it shows the goodness of you that is out in the world. It really does. Now, she could have been the recipient of it with a smile as opposed to a smirk. But the point is that to show gratitude makes me feel good. I mean, what do you think, Emmett? Tell me, you know, share with me about it. Because one of the things I have, because of the funerals I've done, I have a gratitude journal. Every day I had to write. I had to write, what am I grateful for? So one of the things I'm most grateful for, Emmett, I didn't wake up dead. Because I show gratitude for life itself. And so holding the door, even if you don't say thank you, you are a recipient of my gratitude to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same way, that gratitude is really for you, the person, and not necessarily for the person who you're expressing gratitude to in the sense that we think it's a quid pro quo. And so for me, it's kind of old school training, or what we used to call, you know, you know that you've had good home training when you're able to express, you know, a sense of humility in terms of, you know, tipping the hat or saying thank you to somebody for something that they've done. And so I agree with you. And part of my daily routine, part of my daily prayer routine, and certainly my meditation routine, is to really think about what am I grateful for. And so I'm grateful that you didn't wake
thank
up dead
you.
Too with you. I'm with you. But I'm also grateful for the phenomenal people who are part of my life and who are around me, and who give me life and who are inspiring and encouraging, and who keep me on that path, you know, moving
forward.
You know,
it's so interesting. I have to tell you, the reason I still smile, I miss the pots and pans, it's because the one thing we were able to come together about, because this is a very polarized time, it still is very polarized, was that across, you know, race, class, all various differences that we exhibit in the world and show and manifest in the world, the one thing we were able to come together was to show thanks for saving and preserving and fighting for life. So life itself is something, I say, you know, self-preservation, life itself is something to be grateful for, and that these frontline workers put themselves really in harm's way at a time that we didn't, listen, when we think about it, Emmett, we didn't know if masks would work. We didn't know if touching a doorknob that someone who had it, mean we would get it. It reminds me of those very, very early days of AIDS. We just didn't know. Everybody is your enemy, and everybody is suspect. But yet again, in the face of our anxiety and fear, folks rose up to save life. And so I just say, you know, gratitude here in that regard is that we understand that, you know, we are sort of part of this what King says, this in this mutual network of togetherness, that we're tied together no matter how we think about each other or how we live our lives differently or similarly. There's something sacred and holy about the sanctity of life.
Yeah. You know, you're so right on the money here, because the whole notion of being on the front line and this twindemic has really taught us what the front line is. And I hope that we remember this because, yes, we give gratitude to the healthcare providers. We give gratitude to the EMTs and the civil servants and those who were coming to our homes when we needed them to come to our homes. But we also give thanks for those who delivered groceries and those who were on the front end of returning back to the Lyft and the Ubers when we needed to get around and public transportation was not necessarily the safest route to get to. And then those who were in some of these jobs that are not being paid equitable wages, and some of these folks who were doing some of the hardest work around and had not ever been respected and or appreciated or valued, They found themselves on the front lines, and I'm grateful for them. I just hope that we remember them, you know, when it's time to vote, when it's time to pass policies, and when it's time to really appreciate
people. You know,
we've
lost over 600,000 people here. And one of the things that we recognized coming out was that, of course, Black and brown people were disproportionately impacted by it. And so I give thanks for the what we call that person, you know, the lowest of the low that we put on this hierarchy here, the person that went into to those rooms and cleaned them up. Okay, those people who mopped those floors and cleaned those bathrooms, okay, and washed the stuff that fell on the floor. Those are the people that we don't see, and many of them lost their lives either because they caught it at work or they caught it going to work because they had to use public transportation. So I give great gratitude to these folks. But I'm going to tell you, I learned gratitude really, you know, in so many ways. When I think about, and there were some very hard times, some very dark times for me because, and I there was a moment when I felt like I just can't do my work, you know, doing a proper home going for folks, doing the funeral in the way that we understand them to be. And I remember one day writing in my, you know, gratitude journal, and I said, well, I should just be thankful that I can be there to do what I can do, even though it is abbreviated. And I and so I was able to just rise up every day and do it and stop sort of critiquing myself about I couldn't do this, I didn't do this, you know. And one of my, I have to tell you, one of the songs I would play at the end of the day was Andra Day's song Rise Up, and there's a particular lyric when she would say, I would rise up in spite of the ache and I'll rise up 1,000 times again. And that got me up, but it also made me think about our ancestors. Slavery, we've said it before, 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate and equal. And it said, no wonder I have this muscle, because it's been exercised and it's been passed down, that we give thanks even in the midst of suffering, not knowing how it will turn out, but with the expectation that if we're not the recipient of it, the next generation is. So that's why, again, I rise up, I give gratitude, because you know why? I think about moments that I wish some of our ancestors were able to see. I do wish. I remember the night that it was called, the election was called, and Obama was given the nomination. And I said, oh my God, they couldn't imagine that moment. But because of their gratitude and the work they did, I give thanks for what you've done to allow this man be on a national stage and be president of the United States. Yeah.
But look at you getting all emotional on the All Revved Up podcast. I'm gonna say that I'm grateful for all the people who kept their masks rised up over their mouths and their nose as we, you know, went through this last 15, you know, months. And the irony is, it took great courage. Even now, it takes great courage to roll on out with your mask on, because now you look weird again. And so I want to thank everybody who were not afraid to be weird, who were courageous enough to keep your mask rised up. Now, this is the All Revved Up podcast. It's time for a break. We'll be right back.
Listen to me, y'all. Wake up every day and start being grateful. Wake up every day. Don't check your phone first. Don't check your texts and messages.
That was comedian Steve Harvey, February 10th, 2020, on his YouTube channel with a powerful and wise word on gratitude. Wake up every morning and start the day off giving gratitude. I like that, Irene. I like that. What I don't like is the folks who you know are ungrateful, who are just down, cold, and mean. I mean, who are grouches and grinches. And the folks who you just know, you see them, they don't want to smile. They don't want to say hello to you. They don't want to greet you. They don't acknowledge your presence. You know, you can tell that these folks are absolutely internally miserable. I mean, they, and there has to be a correlation between their misery and the lack of gratitude. Come on, come on, work with me here. Because you talked about the person at Starbucks. Emmett. Come on, come on, work with
me. See, now, why you see, now you messing with me, Emmett. See, you messing with me, you see. Because, you know, you're bringing me back at Starbucks this morning at 8:30 when I opened the door for this white woman, okay, and did not, and it's not like I opened the door and she just slithered right in. It opened it wide enough for her wide body to go right in the door. Okay. And did she say thank you? No. And so the issue is, it does annoy me. And I said, I do think there's some cultural stuff there other than a lack of this muscle not being developed here and stuff. But I do feel like what troubles me most of all, that this is a time that we really need to come together. I actually thought that this time together being locked up, worrying about whether we'll live or not live, who will be infected with this virus, how severely will there be this sort of long haulers of folks. I thought that, again, that this is something that we would, again, look at life very differently. See, you notice what they say, see ourselves in each mm-hmm. other. But no, this is an issue about, if anything, this here pandemic, unfortunately, polarized us even that much more, whether we wear a mask or we don't. I mean, because gratitude would be, and really gratitude would be, and I see some of that when I walk, do my morning walk, that I'll see someone who doesn't, who had their mask down, I have my mask on, and out of respect for the fact that I'm wearing my mask, will pull their mask up. But there are others who just will not show any kind of respect, any kind of gratitude for this moment together. Like, here are two people coming together. I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful for seeing everybody, even that woman this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to, you know, kind of encourage those who are listening to us and viewing us that in this season, when we may feel hopeless, when we may feel that politics is beyond us and some of the things that are going on around us, we may not want to participate in. The one thing that we can all participate in is this sense of gratitude. And you know, you be grateful for whatever you desire to be grateful for. I mean, we don't get to pick and choose and say, well, you know, you should and you would and you could. But I think that that essence of gratitude really changes your disposition. It really, you know, in many ways, it moves the glass from being half full to being overflowing, even if there's no water in the glass, because your perception, you know, moves into being a perspective on your own embodied experience. And when you walk through the world and you walk through life with a sense of just being thankful, being grateful, being humble and being appreciative, it definitively does something to you internally. I would argue that it makes you a better person, not out of a value system, but out of an internal sense of being connected with the universe and being connected with this great ecosystem that we're living in, which includes other people.
I think you're right about that. But, you know, how we get people to drink that water, get to that well is a different story. But you're right. I mean, it changes perception, which then, of course, changes your motivation, you know, that psychology of your day, as well as your ambition here. I think that what I like to do is teach people sort of baby steps incrementally to how do you, you know, live in a space of thankfulness, of gratitude. And I think that Steve Harvey said it, just get up each morning. Like I said, when I open up, I'm just thankful I didn't wake up dead. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have some aches and pains. That doesn't mean, okay, I have to deal with a difficult personality. It doesn't mean all those other things. It just means that life itself in this moment was given to you on this day, because all we have is the very moment that we are in. We're not promised tomorrow. So that's where gratitude is, the little things. And he says it incrementally. And then after a while, you feel like, okay, I live richly in the world, may not have material good, may not have all the stuff that we, you know, those material accoutrements that come with, yeah, you're rich, but that there's an internal kind of feeling of richness and being enriched by interacting with each other.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. You absolutely said it. I think that gratitude is something that we just need to exercise more, practice more, and lean into. I mean, I am just so grateful. You know what, Irene? Let me. I'm grateful for two doctors. Let me just do it this way. I'm grateful for Dr. Anthony Fauci, who on the national, international level, just really had the courage to stand up against everybody who was talking bad about him and all this kind of stuff and wouldn't listen to him, even still refusing to listen to him. And I'm grateful for here in Massachusetts, where we are, particularly in the greater Boston area, for Dr. Thea James, who has been a crusader in terms of making sure that that vaccine has been available to folks who look like you, in addition to everybody else. But she made sure that as my aunt would say, that juice got in everybody's arm.
Yeah, I'm thankful for her advocacy around that and getting other doctors involved in it and going into the neighborhoods. Yeah. Not asking you to come to the Reggie Lewis Center or whatever. Going, meeting people where people are at. I certainly give thanks for that. And that we no longer live in separate parts of the house too. I need to just tell you, I'm out of the basement at this point. But I also give thanks to, you know, was it a Kiz Monica? Yeah. Corbett, the sister who helped develop the Moderna vaccine, which is one of the reasons why I particularly want that. But I also need to say this, and this may sound very macabre, but I am thankful for Susan Moore. This is the Black doctor who really journaled her journey as a doctor in a hospital with COVID, showing in real time the disregard for Black bodies. It's sort of like with George Floyd. You can no longer unsee what you see here. I give thankful for folks. And she knew she was dying. Yeah. She knew she wasn't going to make it. But she left us a record. And that's the stuff that I like about the gratitude. Because of what she leaves us, along with what others leave us, we can build a better humanity.
Let's go around one more round, just for fun. I'm grateful for Bishop William Barber, who has continued to advocate, look out for people who don't have access to so many things, even as he moves forward on the Poor People's Campaign. He has been giving his all and been consistent and has been just doing just went to jail, right, for being down, you know, down in D.C., and so I give thanks for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I mean, I give thanks to all of our, you know, politicians who are very much about the distribution of this, you know, vaccine here. But I tell you what I give thanks for too here. I mean, I talk about giving thanks for each day, but I give thanks for you, Emmett, and for you, Cavante, and for you, Kyla, not just making this podcast available, you know, to the public, but I give thanks for you taking your talent to serve the people. You're not doing it just as a job, but you're doing it as a calling. Emmett and I, we are used to serving the people, but you understand the importance of getting the message out. So I give thanks, you know, for every moment that I'm alive, for every little small and grand thing that I am the recipient of.
Amen. Well, let me take us home with a final word for this final episode of this not final season. It's just season 3, folks. We'll be back soon. We're just going to take a little time to R&R and to enjoy life and be grateful over these several months.
Our families.
That's right. And with
That's
our families.
Right. With our families.
For some, gratitude is a posture, a verb, or a choice. For others, it is a necessity, a response, or a culminating blessing. Some practice gratitude as a daily exercise, a meaningful and deliberate meditation, or a spiritual practice with human implications. Most find gratitude a welcomed yet increasingly rare public display of appreciation and humility. In our current segmented world and divided nation, gratitude is one of those old practices that was a sign of good old home training that is increasingly disappearing. Beyond a thank you, Gratitude often turns a generic moment into an intimate one as we offer heartfelt thanks and a display of emotion. Whether divine or human, spiritual or earthly, religious or humane, a little gratitude has always gone a long way. For whatever reason and in whatever way, let us commit to expressing more gratitude as a way of spreading light, love, healing, and hope in the world. Irene, I am so grateful that you didn't wake up dead today. But more than that, I am grateful to you for your friendship and for being an amazing co-executive producer and co-host of the All Revved Up podcast. Ashe?
Ashe.
And amen.
Amen.
All Revved Up is brought to you by us, the Revs. Our amazing producers are Kyla Wright and Cavante Smalls.
Music from this episode is from Reverend Price's son, musical prodigy, Emmett G. Price IV. All Revved Up is distributed by GBH.
Additional thanks to Bob Kempf, Elizabeth O'Brien, May Key, Chelsea Mers, Meredith Neerman, and Zach Waldman.
If you like what you hear, let us know. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow us at All Revved Up Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Feel free to send us a note, a question, or a comment at allrevveduppod@gmail.com. We'll be back real soon with season 4 of the All Revved Up podcast.